Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris, host of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. And in this episode, I'm going to be chatting with my co-host, Jamie Medill of Jamie Medill Property, about the essential processes and procedures you need to have in place in order to grow your team and scale your HMO property business. Now, if you're looking to scale your property business, do you have the right foundations in place for growth? That's something that we're going to be discussing in this episode, where we're going to be giving you some handy hints and tips about building your team, systemizing your processes, and giving you the best foundations for growth in relation to your HMO property business. Some of the key topics that we'll be covering in today's episode include why we should systemize our HMO property business, what standard tasks you can outsource, creating your standard operating procedures manual, and deciding where to start. Now, at the end of this episode, make sure you head over to our website, thehmoexperience.co.uk, where you can find show notes, as well as free resources, including the 11 steps to running your successful HMO property business. And you can sign up to our weekly newsletter. If you enjoy this episode, please make sure that you hit the subscribe button so that you'll always be the first to know when a new episode is released. Now that the intro is done, let's head over to this fantastic episode. Hi guys, I'm Emma Harris and welcome to episode 35 of the HMO Experience. We are here in virtual format with the lovely little background of our podcast logo. I'm here with Jamie. So hello, Jamie.
Hi guys.
We are without Steve, who's still planting his seeds. If you tuned into the last episode, it is the beginning of spring when we're recording. The sun is out. It's a perfect opportunity to get those green fingers green. So that's what Steve's doing. But look, we're on episode 35. We are talking about HMO business systemization today. So if you have or you're in the process of getting your first rent-to-rent or HMO property and you're looking to scale, obviously you're going to need to put in some systems. So we're just going to be covering an overview. We have recorded quite a few lives because we've been during lockdown, where we've done a number of book reviews as well, and how you can apply those learnings and lessons from the books, some of them talking about process and systemization within your HMO property business. So we're just going to give you an overview rather than going into a proper deep dive, because we've already covered quite a lot of content around systemization and processes as a result of having done those book reviews. So that being said, Jamie, do you want to kick us off with why we should be systemizing our business?
Yeah, good stuff. Great to have you guys here. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the HMO Experience Podcast. So the key thing is, you've got to think about, why are we doing this? Why are we actually doing HMOs? What is it we want from it? Because sometimes I find people that come to Steve, myself, and Matt have a chat and say, oh God, it's hard work. It's really hard work, this HMO stuff. I think they've really lost track of why they're doing it, what they want out of it, and then don't necessarily know how to get themselves out of the day-to-day. That's really what we're going to be covering in this episode. Mm-hmm. As Matt said, this is an overview. The next episode we're recording is all about our favorite apps and the bits of software that we use to actually do some of this stuff. So today is all about an overview about how to get yourself out of the day-to-day. Because as Matt said, you might be just starting out. You might have your very first HMO, either owned property or indeed your first rent-to-rent HMO. And now is definitely the time to start identifying how you can get some of your time back. Because most people want to have an HMO property business to not only give them the income, that's a given, you'll get all the income that you need as you take more and more properties on, but it's also to get their time back. And so this is something which many people struggle with, and this is why we're recording this episode. So the thing I'd like to start off by suggesting is writing out a list of all the key tasks that you either need to do in your business or are currently doing in your business. This could be anything such as marketing, how to find properties, and the different ways of doing that. This could be things like how to do advertising to go and actually advertise your rooms once you've got your next property, how to do viewings. It might also include things like maintenance and weekly house checks. So make a list of all the things you're either currently doing or you need to do going forward in the business. And then literally, again, if Steve was here, Steve would be saying, you know, step one, write down how to do viewings. And I'd be going through literally every single money detail. But at this stage, this is an overview.
So overview.
Overview only. Think about what those general tasks are. Then what I'd suggest you do, step two, is think about the cost of somebody else. You have to pay for somebody else to do those tasks. So if you can group all the tasks you've just written down into two key areas. One is necessary but low cost. Mm-hmm. Others are necessary and potentially high cost or high value. So let me give you a quick example, if I may, Matt.
Yeah.
For us in our HMO business, a necessary task that's low cost are things like weekly house checks, doing viewings with new customers, for example, and moving people in, checking them in and checking them out. Those are necessary tasks in the business, but they don't cost very much for us to get somebody else to do. And if you flip that on its head, what about some of the high cost or high value tasks? The most value that I can bring to my HMO business, and I'm going to talk about buying properties for a moment, is spend my time and effort marketing myself and our track record, our service to other investors. So if I could raise, I don't know, £250,000, £500,000, with some other investors, then go and buy properties together. That's much more of a high value to our business rather than me doing, flipping back to that example, doing house checks. Yeah, that's an example of the two different things. Likewise, if you're looking at a rent-to-rent HMO perspective, a high value task in that scenario could be finding out more properties to go and take on to secure. You know, bearing in mind these properties might make you £1,000 income a month, for example, and over 5 years you've got a contract, that's a really high value task.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. What would you do, Matt, on the basis of those two steps?
Yeah, likewise. I think, when we got our first property, first thing I thought of was I need a property manager to do those things, you know, to do the weekly checks, to, you know, organize if any contractors need to come and do stuff, to, you know, manage the sort of the WhatsApp group and do the sort of running around bits, which are quite time consuming and obviously detract from you doing higher sort of value tasks. I think definitely work out, as you said, make a list of the tasks, not just in your business, but I guess, at what stage those tasks start to become relevant, right? So obviously, if you're just starting out, you need to find properties. So there are a number of different tasks which you can do or which you can also outsource to a VA to do so that you can only focus on, you know, actually going to do the viewings, doing the offering and the offer negotiation and doing the stuff that is going to help you secure that property, which then takes you on to the next step, which is getting the property ready, which takes you on to the next step, which is, you know, getting the marketing stuff and getting the property filled, which takes you on to the next step, which is, you know, property management. And then the next step, handing the housemate or tenant exit, handing the property back, landlord services. So, you know, having clearly defined departments, for want of a better expression, as well as then assigning tasks to those departments and seeing which tasks you can outsource. You know, some of them you can outsource pretty much straight away. Some of them will take you a little bit of time to find the suitable person or people or alternative service to sort of outsource to. But ultimately that's kind of, you should be looking at taking that approach from day one rather than, you know, day 500 when you're running around like a headless chicken.
Yeah, that's a great point. I haven't told you this before, Matt, or shared this story, but before Steve and I got our very first rent-to-rent HMO property, so early 2014, we met up with a guy that Steve knew from property circles who had he was very successful. He had a couple of letting agencies rather up in Nottingham. And because he was a mate of Steve's, you know, we spent, he was great, he's very generous with his time. we spent a good couple of hours with him chatting away about how he runs his business and some of the learnings about the tips that he would give us. And he was saying when he first started, when he does some property training courses and then he was starting to do lettings, first of all, he had 120 properties being managed from himself in his bedroom, you know, on a spreadsheet. That was his, you know, single lettings business. Okay. And one of the tips to him was, you know, yeah, you can start employing people, but why not manage more first, get your experience up and running first, and then think about scaling. So one of the things that Steve and I did, we were very much hands-on for the first year before we started to properly systemize and properly build the business and start replacing ourselves with different people. It's funny because you, me and Steve did an HMO podcast episode, a bite-sized episode a couple of days ago, as we're dealing with the sort of COVID crisis. And one of the things that Steve admitted is that even though he's a systems guy, he loves systems and he geeks out on all the stuff about how to be more efficient. Yeah. The irony, the great irony here is that Steve is a self-confessed perfectionist. So he likes to be everything perfect and be in control. So even though I was the one in our business saying, we've got to get you out more, we've got to get you out, you're much more value than doing weekly house checks, for example. Mm. He got it. He absolutely agreed with the logic, but he couldn't bring himself to actually do it quicker than he eventually did it. So I think you made a great point, Matt, which is do it from day one or do it now. If you've already got some properties, do it right now. The sooner you do this, the better and more resilient your business will be. The more profitable it can be if you do this well, and you can get your time back, which is much more important to many, many people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not the glamorous side. And, you know, we've spoken about this a few times with Steve, who kind of geeks out on the processes and systemizing and doing all that kind of stuff. It's not the glamorous side of things because it's not. It's you know, methodical and time consuming and it, you know, it's very detailed and all that kind of stuff. By the same token, it's, you know, it's super important to kind of underpin your business, right? And if you are looking to scale, you know, if you're looking to take on one or two properties, cool. You're happy to do it by yourself. Not a problem. If you're looking to scale, then you are going to need to have like systems and processes in place, which are going to enable you to achieve the scaling, right? So, you know, like we said, putting them into departments, categorizing your task or listing your tasks, and then like identifying what you can outsource and to whom, you know, where, how you can start building your power team as well, which is what we've discussed in I think it was episode 9 or episode 10, we discussed about power teams. So I think that being said, Jamie, it's probably quite a good juncture to kind of give our listeners just a little bit of an overview about the sort of standard tasks that are generally outsourced within, whether it's a rent-to-rent or your standard buy and own HMO property business.
Yeah, so let's do that. Okay, cool. We'll do that. And a quick recommendation from me. Steve, myself, and Matt have been doing, again, throughout the whole COVID lockdown process or situation, we've been doing some HMO Experience podcast bite-sized episodes and Facebook Lives. And we've done a shout-out on this topic. A shout-out. sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
It's a shout-out.
It's a shout-out. It's a shout-out. a couple of books that we've used to help us create some of the systems and outsourcing elements here. And the first book we talked about some time ago was The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. And that's good. That's all about identifying key tasks in your business. And then initially you'll be putting your name in all those tasks. But as you start to grow and scale, then you're going to find help from elsewhere. This is where the power team you mentioned, Matt, comes into play. And the ideal scenario is you keep yourself in the sort of central function of overseeing the business, but all the other tasks are leveraging out to other people. Mm. The second book we mentioned a short while ago was How to Create Your Business and Run It on Clockwork by a guy called Mike Michalowicz, or Mike Motorbike, he calls himself. And again, that's a very similar concept, but really, really powerful. It's about listing exactly what goes on in your business and how you can get to run on clockwork, which is what we're talking about, separately, without you having to be there. So that is key. So some of those tasks, if we just go through And there's not a huge differentiator between properties you're buying to run as HMO versus ones you're doing as a rent-to-rent HMO service.
Yeah.
So the key component is the management side. And as you said, this isn't the sexy stuff, but this is the stuff that differentiates you and a business that runs for you and works for you rather than you working crazily hard.
Yeah.
So some of the key things. Let's go back to basics. Once you've got your property ready to go, you've got to start getting your property advertised, telling people about your property so you can start doing viewings with potential customers who want to rent out rooms from you. So that's a process you can definitely leverage out to somebody else or indeed systemize.
Yeah.
So advertising your rooms and then conducting viewings. Once those two things have done, again, the next natural step would be someone to say, yeah, I want to move into your house, Matt. How can I do that? And then it's about referencing and tenant checks. Again, you can leverage and outsource that. Once those customers have actually passed all those checks, then it's a case of checking them in. And there's literally a process that we, you know, the three of us in our businesses have written down, so we don't do this anymore, but literally the process, the steps to go and check somebody in. Then you've got, of course, the actual management of people once they're in. So how to deal with maintenance issues, how to deal with requests for something not working from your customers, and what's the communication tool or apps that you use. And we'll be doing this next episode, the apps.
Yeah.
But what is the tool or way of them being able to communicate with you? Then, of course, as you said, it's things like they might have to move out of the house after a year or 2 years or whatever in the future, because of job change or whatever it might be, change of circumstance, then it's what is the process you can outsource to do the checkouts and the weekly house checks, all those sorts of things. So it's literally all those parts of the property business which you don't have to do. As you said, Matt, we have a property manager in our business, our rent-to-rent business. We also work with a great guy called Madda up in Coventry who manages all the HMOs up there as well. And the processes they use are exactly the same. Exactly the same. Whether it's rent-to-rent HMO business or the property management for ones that we actually own. The same process.
Nice.
But how about you? What sort of tasks would you add to that list?
I would add, so from a rent-to-rent perspective, it's like searching for properties, right? So we have a VA who will go through all of our, so the Rightmove, Zoopla, On The Market updates. They've got a criteria of the sort of properties that we're looking for. They get stuck in a schedule with basic information and links to have a look. And then once that's kind of done on a weekly basis, that'll then just enable me to click through, you know, spend half an hour looking at the properties that have been scheduled and go, yes, you know, these are the ones that we should ask for viewings for, and these ones aren't quite suitable. It also helps you like build up quite a bit of data for your goldmine area to see what sort of properties and how frequent those types of properties become available. Are there more 4-bed properties in the area? Are there more 5-bed properties in the area? That sort of stuff, which is super useful. So that sort of thing we outsource. Obviously, you know, stuff like cleaning and gardening and maintenance. Like I'm no handyman. I'm useless with tools or anything that requires, you know, a bit of thought around using these things. I can type furiously like this, but other than that, they're not very good.
You're very fast typing. That's one of your skills. Keep that skill.
but stuff like that. And I think, you know, the one thing that you mentioned, which I just want to pick up on, is with Courtney and Madda. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
So they follow exactly the same processes, right? So those processes, I believe, are underpinned by like a procedures manual, like a systems manual, standard operating procedures, whatever you want to call them, which is also important to think about sooner rather than later once you've started your business, because that will act as a guide for any other person or people that you bring into the business to follow in order to perform you know, their relevant tasks. It'll help you define job descriptions or outsource descriptions. And it will just make the scaling and the leveraging of those tasks a lot easier because, you know, people have a checklist, a guide, a video, you know, some sort of documentation to follow in order to perform the tasks that you're asking them to do. Yeah. So again, we're not going to go into a load of granular detail around that. As Jamie mentioned, we have done a bunch of lives. So head over to the Facebook page, the HMO Experience Facebook page, to check those out. We'll go onto our YouTube channel as well. Check out all the conversations that we've had, not just about the book recommendations, but, you know, positioning yourself for growth and generally having good systems and processes in place to enable you to, you know, outsource tasks to free up your time to concentrate on the higher value tasks to enable you to continually grow the business. So I think that is the one thing, or the last thing that I kind of want to add to this conversation in terms of, you know, systemization. Like I say, this is just an overview, right? You could spend many, many hours. And if Steve were here, he would spend many, many hours on going into granular detail around this. One thing which would be quite good, if you've got any specific questions about process or systemization and all that kind of stuff, head over to the Property and HMO Forum face on Facebook, head over into the group, ping us questions. Like, we're active on there. We're responsive. You know, we want to help people, you guys, listeners, viewers, you know, help you build your property business. I'm not necessarily going to have the answers. All the answers, I won't. I'll have some answers. Jamie will have a lot more answers, and Steve will have loads of answers. We'll literally have loads of answers. But no, head over there and post your comments and questions. Have you got anything? Wait. Jamie's last comment.
Okay. It rolls off the tongue, doesn't it, Matt? That's, yeah, anyway. So I need a little logo for that, or hashtag. Hashtag would be like 78 characters.
Hashtag JLC, Jamie's last comment.
Nice, love it. That's why, you're the genius. So a couple of things I want to share with you before, sorry, Matt.
Okay. Do it.
A couple of extra bits to share with you guys. If you are listening to this podcast episode or watching it and going, well, how on earth do I know what to start with? Well, here's a quick suggestion, because you're doing property for a reason. Probably it's to generate some income. So why do you think about the level of income you want to make a year, for example, from your property business? Because this might help you identify what you should be focusing on within the business and what you shouldn't. And here's what I do. We do this all of our mastermind clients, for example. So let's just say you want to make £50,000 income from your property business. How on earth do you start dividing up the tasks which are going to work towards you getting that income versus the jobs or tasks that are going to take you away from getting that income? So here's what we do. Let's just say you want to make £50,000 a year. Okay. Now, typically across a year, someone works for 2,000 hours, typically, roughly. So you divide the target you want to make each year, 50,000, divided by 2,000 hours of work across a year. And that will give you a number, which is £25 per hour. So, if you can find tasks that need to be done, such as the advertising, the research that Matt suggested, the check-ins, the advertising, the checkouts, the weekly maintenance, weekly house inspection, if those tasks, let's say, cost between, I don't know, £10 and £15 an hour for somebody else to do, that then means you can focus on all your efforts, which are going to make you personally £25 per hour or more, such as finding properties. One new property that you find might make you £1,000 a month, 12 grand a year, over 5 years, you know, 60 grand's worth of income. So therefore, if you want to make £50,000 a year income, and you know that everything you have to work on yourself needs to make you a minimum of £25 per hour or more, then you can start delegating all those tasks which cost significantly less than that to other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I've never thought of it like that.
Cool. You see.
2,000 hours. Okay.
2,000 hours, roughly.
Is that like a 9 to 5?
Yeah. Yeah, wow, roughly. Okay. You know, like we're entrepreneurs, so we don't work 2,000
hours. Yeah, I was going to say.
Let's just pretend we did for the moment.
I think my hourly rate would be something like £5.60.
Yeah. We're living the dream.
I know.
So that's just a little thing to think of to get you going, having listened to this episode. The last thing I want to leave with you, another tip, is don't assume that you've got to train somebody up to go and do these tasks all in one go. And again, here's something that Steve has done in our own property businesses, which is he's found people we want to work with, and we've covered how to do that in some other episodes, and maybe we'll go into that in a bit more detail in some future HMO Experience podcasts. Mm. But what Steve's also done is he's broken down the individual component parts of a task into some key steps that need to be done. So he's written it out. In the same way that Matt mentioned, the ops manual, it's been written out. And you know,
of course, yes.
Steve, and it's written out in granular detail. Anyway, so take that as an issue. He's written this stuff out. He's then basically 2, 3, 4 times run through those tasks on the ground with someone. Let's just say it's a weekly house inspection with somebody else. In our case, it's Courtney, who's our property manager in Bedford. He's basically done the task with her shadowing him for, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, whatever it takes until she gets it. Then the next 2, 3, 4 times of that same repetitive task, then Courtney's been doing the work, following the system, and Steve's been shadowing her. And then once she's done it all properly and she feels confident and she hasn't made any mistakes, then she's out on her own. And the sooner you can get people to go out on their own, it takes a bit of effort up front to train them and provide all the documents or whatever the process is. But as soon as you've done it, you've just saved yourself some significant time and money because you can focus on new stuff. Does that make sense, Matt? So breaking it down into smaller bits, train people into a task that they can then do. Once they're happy, move on to the next task. And that's how you start, over time, getting people to replace you.
Nice. Yeah, that's a nice way to wrap up this episode, Jamie. Thank you very much.
Hashtag KLC.
Look, guys, thank you very much for joining us. If you would like to continue the conversation, make sure you head over to the Property and HMO Forum on Facebook. Also, make sure you like the HMO Experience Facebook page for regular updates. Also, whilst you're listening, make sure you head over to the YouTube channel and subscribe to that as well, because then you will be able to see these amazing backgrounds that we are constantly referring to at the start of each episode that we're recording during COVID. You will see what they look like. They are really very, very, very fantastic. But for now, we are going to call it a day. As Jamie mentioned, the next episode, episode 37?
Yes.
Yes, six, got it right.
Six.
Episode 36. We're going to be talking about some of Jamie and Steve's favorite apps that they use within the business, which will help with the systemization aspect. So make sure you tune in to that. But for now, we are going to call it a day. Thank you very much for listening. It is goodbye from Jamie.
Goodbye, guys.
And it's goodbye from me. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, guys. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd really appreciate you hitting the subscribe button to make sure that you get weekly notifications when new episodes are released. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please make sure that you rate and leave us a review. And if you head over to the hmoexperience.co.uk website, you can download a number of free resources, including the 11 steps to building your own successful HMO property business. And you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter. For now, that's it from myself and the team at the HMO Experience. And we look forward to you joining in on the next episode.